You are listening to WDOT Radio Port Washington. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Epic Entertainment Roundup. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and a delicious turkey. As always, my name is Gabriel, and I will be the host on today's show. We are thrilled to have TV Associate Director and Schreiber alum Eden Castle on the podcast this morning. I hope you enjoy it. Eden Castle is a successful TV Assistant Director and longtime Port Washington resident. How are you doing today, Eden?
Good, Gabriel. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Of course.
To start off the interview, could you tell me a little about yourself?
Sure. Like you said, I'm a Schreiber graduate. I grew up here in Port Washington and currently live here now with my family. I went to Boston University, School of College of Communication for college, and did have a degree in television and radio. I did television and radio there at BU. So this brings me back to my radio days. And during high school, during my late years in high school, I started working in television and have been doing it ever since. And currently I am the associate director on Sherry, which is a daytime talk show, syndicated daytime talk show hosted by Sherry Shepherd.
What made you want to go into the TV business?
You know, I always was very fascinated with what was going on behind the scenes. Whenever I watched television, no matter what it was, I always was wondering what's happening. What I'm watching is entertaining, but what's happening behind the scenes? And when there were shows that once in a while showed what was going on behind the scenes, whether it was Saturday Night Live or when they did a blooper reel on a sitcom or something like that, it would always interest me and it always fascinated me. So I kind of just pursued that, and I was very lucky. In high school, we had a family friend and a Port Washington resident who was involved in television, and I called him and I said, one summer I was 16 and I said, I'll take out the garbage. I'll do anything. I really just want to work in television. And he was able to get me, an internship at the production company that was producing the show that he was running, and it kind of went on from there.
Was there ever a point in your career when you wanted to actually be on stage? Were you ever watching a show from the back and realized?
Hey, no. That was definitely something I've realized that is not my forte. I enjoy it. I have been on television a bunch of times and on various programs. It's been fun, but it's never something that I would want to pursue. My radio career at BU was kind of my foray into hosting, and I realized that's where I was going to leave it.
You were on The Late Show with Jimmy Kimmel, right?
I was on Jimmy Kimmel Live when I was in college. My semester abroad, as it were, was in Los Angeles. I want to say it was 2004 or thereabouts. You have the date. I don't remember exactly, but it's around there, February. And I was interning at Jimmy Kimmel Live. It was a program where my semester abroad was you participated in a television or film internship or a marketing internship, things like that out there. And I was interning there, and one night they called and they said, "We want you to do a little comedy bit with Jimmy, and can you come in?" It was a day that I wasn't working. I said, sure, I can come in. And by the time I got there, an hour or two later, they had decided that instead of just doing a comedy bit, I would be with Jimmy the entire show as his intern, so to speak. And was I okay with kind of co-hosting the entire episode with him? I was kind of thrown into it. So I did, it took me a couple of seconds to decide, but I went with it, and we had a good time. It was a fun episode, and I spent the entire show next to Jimmy the entire episode from start to finish, and it was a good time.
Did you have any mentors within the Jimmy Kimmel production?
Not necessarily within Jimmy Kimmel. I worked with some good people. I don't speak to anybody that is still there. Once in a while, I have interactions just by chance. My mentors were more people that I started working with in New York when I was 16, 17. I really enjoyed my experience with Jimmy, and the few people that and names that I still remember and know. If I went back to LA, I'd look them up and say hello. But at Jimmy, there were no mentors. But in New York, there were definitely. At my first company, there were definitely people that I still stay in contact with and people I still work with.
Currently, what's your favorite part of being an associate director?
I think, first of all, our show is live, mostly. 3 days a week, we are live at 10 a.m. here in New York. That aspect, to me, is the most exciting part. You start at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're done at 11, and whatever happens in that hour is what happens, and there's no going back. Good things, bad things, lucky things, mistakes, whatever happens, it's off to Jupiter by the time we're done. To me, that's the most exciting part, that I get to, part of my job every morning when we're live is counting down to the moment we go on air. And those last 10 seconds, again, whatever happened earlier in the morning and whatever's going to happen later on in the day, whatever our schedule is later on in the day, doesn't matter. Those 10 seconds before, it's actually, if we want to get exactly technical, it's 9:59 and 53 seconds. In those 10 seconds before 9:59:53, there's just one path, and that's getting to air and getting the show on the air, and whatever's going to happen within that hour is going to happen. To me, that's the most exciting part.
Do you ever feel anxiety within the 10 seconds that you count down for?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, there are some times where there are things going on within those 10 seconds. Producers are making last minute decisions. Something is breaking technically or something like that. So yeah, within those 10, and I could have three voices in my ear talking to me about something that's going to happen mid show. But to me, those 10 seconds are exactly, I have to focus on that. And then kind of, figure out the rest afterwards.
So you were talking about mistakes before. Mm-hmm. Let's say someone curses on air. What would you do if that occurred?
It happens. It's rare, but it does happen. So that is not my responsibility at all. On our particular show, we have a legal counsel, we have a lawyer, and we also have somebody whose title is the executive in charge of production. And those people both sit and watch the show, and they have two buttons in front of them, two large buttons. One is a button that drops out audio, and one is a button that will put color bars, if you know what those are, color bars up on the screen and block the screen. So in a typical live production, there is what's called a 7-second delay. So everything that happens in the studio, yes, it's going out live and in the moment, but you are seeing it on television 7 seconds later than actually live, which is why I start the show at 9 o'clock in the morning, 59:53. So I start the show 7 seconds earlier before 10 o'clock so that when 10 o'clock hits, all right. So what happens is these... The executive in charge and the lawyer is our backup. They're wearing headphones like we are right now. And in one ear is what's happening live in the studio right as it's happening. And in the other ear is 7 seconds later. So you're always hearing two things at once. So what they do is they hear the word whatever. They hear one of the words you can't say on television in one ear, exactly as it happens, and then they're waiting 7 seconds later to hear it in their other ear. And when they hear it in their other ear, or right before they hear it in their other ear, they hit the button that drops out the audio, and you will never hear it on actual television. So that's what, when somebody curses, that's what happens. On a show that is taped, on a show that isn't going out live, that delay doesn't come into play. So what we can do is, after the show records, we go back to the space where the person curses, and then we can take out the audio ourselves.
Is there a process for this when, let's say, someone forgets what to say on air, or they stutter or something like that?
Well, yes and no. You know, our host, Sherry, has a teleprompter, and things are written for her in the teleprompter, but can also be written, you know, have been pre-written. And so she's reading stuff that she's not rehearsed, but that she knows about. But we can also write something live there in person in case she needs it. For a guest, if a guest stutters, you know, it's up to the host to kind of decide what to do there. The host is there to make their guest feel comfortable, regardless of how major or minor a celebrity is, or guest is, or person. We have a lot of what's called human interest stories, so we have a lot of kind of normal people on our show. You know, people who've started charities, kids who have overcome disabilities to go on to do great things. Those people sometimes are very nervous on television, and rightfully so. So it's up to the host to kind of make sure they feel comfortable. If the host says go to commercial, or, you know, and politely says, all right, we're going to go to a break, and that's our cue to then go to a commercial. But in terms of making decisions, if people are nervous or stuttering on air, I kind of just have to wait and be told what to do.
What do you believe the most important quality is to have as an associate director?
I think it depends on the day. I want to say patience. Which again, definitely depends on the day, and organization. You have to be able to process a lot of information all at once. You have to be able to hear three different voices in your head, plus what's happening on air. Recognize what's important and what's not in that moment, and kind of go from there. All the while making sure that you're supporting your director. The biggest part of an associate director's job is making sure that the director next to you is able to do his or her job as flawlessly as possible, because that's you're their support system, and you want to make sure that in the moment, regardless of how hectic your position is, he or she, as the director, needs to remain calm and needs to remain focused, and that's your main priority.
Mm-hmm. If something did go wrong, and let's say a camera broke or something like that, what would you do?
It actually happened earlier this week. You punt. You just do what you need to do. Earlier this week we were live, and one of our cameras stopped working, and the cameraman, said quietly but urgently on headset, "Don't come to me, don't come to me, don't come to me." So I repeated that to the director, and I just made sure that everybody knew that, okay, this camera's broken, camera five, and we're not going to go to camera five. Now, that took the director a little bit to adjust and figure out exactly how to work around it, but you just have to work around it. On a tape show, you can stop. And you can try to fix it, but if something goes horribly wrong on a live show, you go to commercial. It's always better to go to commercial. you know, we I've worked on you know, on the previous show that I worked on, the Wendy Williams show. You know, she had a very famous moment where she passed out live on air. And it was one of our Halloween shows, and she was in a costume, and she overheated, and she passed out. She was speaking, and she passed out. In that moment, your mind goes into overdrive, and the first thing you do is you go to commercial, and then once you're in commercial, you have time to think. Thankfully, she was okay. She wasn't hurt, and she was able to continue to the show once she came to. But if something goes wrong, you don't panic. You go to commercial and you then collaborate from there.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a live audience for the show?
We do. We do. We have a live studio audience, every day. There's a whole department that works on getting people into the studio. Tickets are free. For all your listeners, you can go to SherryShowTV.com and get tickets if you'd like. So you have to be 16, though, unfortunately, to be. Yeah, I know. I know.
So what's the process for getting someone to be a guest on the show?
It's a long process, and it's a process that I'm not involved in, but I do know about it. On our show, we have three very, very, very good and dedicated people. Their titles are called talent bookers. And these talent bookers have connections to publicists and agents and sometimes even the celebrities themselves. And it's a large collaboration. Television all about collaboration. There is, the cliche, there's no I in team. In television, you cannot get a show off the ground without other people. So these talent bookers are looking at guests that, on many levels, they're looking at guests that will be exciting and get ratings. They're looking at guests that would relate to the host. They're looking at guests that the host wants. So the host has every right to say, oh, I really want to talk to so-and-so about their new project. So-and-so has a new book coming out or a new movie coming out. I really want to talk to them. Can you try to book them? And so it's the booker's job to then figure out when we can get this guest, what show they can fit it into. And they speak to the producers and the executive producers about what show. Okay, this person is going to be in New York this week. We can get them on Tuesday. Is there a spot open on Tuesday's live show to interview so-and-so? So it is a very large collaboration and process. Sometimes we do things called post tapes, which is after our live show, we'll keep our audience. Sherry will go and change into a different outfit, and we will shoot a segment, an interview with a guest who isn't available. We want to air them next week, but they're not in New York next week. So we take them while they're in New York and we record it. And then when you're watching the television show, when you're watching the actual show, she's in the same outfit. You can't tell that we recorded this earlier in the week, but it all is about, and then sometimes there are guests that are around that we really, really want, but we can't get. Either they're too busy, either, if their show is on a certain network, if they're an actor or actress and their show is on a certain network, then the network sometimes says, oh, you can't go on shows that aren't on our network. So it's a large process. It's one I'm not involved in, but it takes a lot of people and a lot of steps.
So you said that there's a change between the show that was currently happening and the show that they might broadcast in a week or in the future.
Mm-hmm.
During that change, is it ever hectic? Is there ever like a rush to quickly move into the next?
Well, what do you mean by change? I mean, what I was saying is when we, so we're live, based on our schedule, we are live Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday of every week. On Tuesday afternoon after our live show, we shoot a show that airs Wednesday morning. And Thursday in the afternoon after our live show, we shoot an air that airs Friday morning. So, those we shoot as if they're live. We don't, they're exactly an hour. We don't do anything. We do a couple of things that may take a little bit more time to set up, because with those tape shows, we have the luxury of the commercial breaks don't need to be the exact amount of time that they are when we're live. So we can stop the tape and we can set up either a large scale performance, musical performance, or a large demonstration, a science demonstration or something like that. But what do you mean by is it hectic in terms of the change?
Like between the two shows, have mm-hmm. do you ever have to rush into the segment?
No. We try to do it as quickly as possible, right after our live show, just because of our schedule and of the day. It's always timed out and planned out ahead of time. There's a schedule that's put together for each production day, the week before, the Friday before, and it tweaks during the week, but we try to stick to it as best as possible.
What's the funniest experience you've had on the set?
There isn't a moment that sticks out. I've been lucky to work on many different programs. I've been lucky to work with some extremely, extremely talented people. Are there some days that aren't as fun as others? Absolutely. But I don't think I have necessarily a funniest moment. I think there are always parts of the day where, there's joking and things like that. But at the end of the day, we're working to get the show done on the air, and that's the focus. We have fun during it, but I can't think of any moment that's the funniest, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. What's the most proud event that you've had in your career?
Ooh, that is a very, very good question. Wow, that caught me off guard. I've been lucky enough to work for a lot of different shows. In my career out of college, I worked on a talk show called The Montel Williams Show, which was a talk show where Montel met with real people and who had some unfortunate issues. And was able to kind of lift them up. I was proud to help people who were sometimes down and out. I think there are proud moments within every show once in a while. And I think there are exciting moments within every show. Montel helped people. Sherry helps people. Wendy Williams helped people. I think whenever we can kind of go outside the box of just an interviewing a celebrity and having that celebrity plug their project, when we actually help people and when there's a when there's an impact to just kind of a normal person like you and me, I think that's what I'm proud of.
How did your time at Schreiber help you prepare for your career?
It didn't. No, of course it did. I think my time at Schreiber, there was a television studio here at Schreiber when I was there. And, we had a very, very dedicated production teacher. I think what I learned here at Schreiber, again, I learned a lot here at Schreiber. Respecting the process of putting together a show with other people whom you may not agree with at all times, whom you may not like at all times, But you still have to do it. Mm-hmm. You still, at the end of the day, have to put together a show. A show has to go on air. And I think here at Schreiber, I learned the idea that you're going to work with a lot of different people. And those people are going to have their opinions, and their opinions are going to be the most important opinions, just like your opinion is going to be the most important opinion. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to run with it. You have to balance and decide what noise to listen to and what noise not to listen to.
Mm-hmm. And in general, do you have any advice for someone that would want to work on a TV set or go into the TV industry?
I think, you know, one of the best advice I was told, you know, when you're trying to break into TV, especially when you're younger, there are a lot of times you just go to talk with somebody. You go to talk with a television professional. A job may not be offered, and there may not even be a job opening, but you go and you say, can I just chat with you for a while? Can I just talk to you about the business? And the advice that I got was, when I go on these, you know, informational interviews, these kind of chats, if the person you're talking to, the television person you're talking to, says to you, ugh, why do you want to go into television? Don't listen to that person. Immediately disregard that person's advice, because they are jaded. They may be extremely successful. They may be extremely well known in the business, but if their answer to somebody who wants to come up in television is, ugh, why do you want to do that? Don't listen to them. Go and meet as many people as you can. Knock on as many doors as you can. Make yourself available to people as best you can. And ask questions, regardless of whether you think your question is dumb or obvious, or just ask. And if the person you're talking to is a good person, they're going to answer you, and they're going to be excited that you want to break into the business.
Mm-hmm. And you once said you don't even process what's going on when it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your like big takeaway from the TV business, like once you get that big opportunity?
Well, what I kind of meant is that, you know, in the moment, in a live moment, you kind of just go with your you go with your instinct, and you just kind of you're on autopilot. I think television is about focus. It's fun. And it's exciting, and it's frustrating, and it's maddening, and all of those things. But you kind of just go with your instinct. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky enough to work with very successful people, they'll help you out too. Mm-hmm. They'll pick you up too. Again, it's all about a team. It's all about a collaboration. So if you misspeak or slip or whatnot, forget something, hopefully the next person will pick up the ball, and then you'll do the same for them. So I think it's about going with your instinct.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Eden. And as always, this has been your host, Gabriel, from the Epic Entertainment Roundup, saying until next time, have a delightful day.